20 minutes. That is how long three officers stood outside one man's door in Wyoming and pounded on it. Not knocked, pounded on the door and then on the window with heavy metal police flashlights shouting through the glass in the dead middle of the night. They got there at 2:43 in the morning. The man inside did not answer. He lay there in the dark and he did not answer, and they kept going. At about 3:30 in the morning, he finally got up and opened his own front door. And here's the part that stops people cold when they hear it. A federal appeals court later looked at that night and ruled that the moment that door came open, that man had already been seized. Arrested, in the eyes of the Constitution, while he was still standing inside his own home, in his socks, on his own floor. The officers never crossed his threshold. They didn't have to. The court said their pounding reached across it for them. Now, most people hear that and think, well, that's frightening. And it is. But I want you to hold on to it, because that ruling did not go the officer's way. It went the homeowner's way. Everything they found that night got thrown out. So that same fact that a doorway is a legal border and the law watches very carefully what happens at it is one of the strongest things you own. The trouble is that almost nobody knows it's there. So today I'm going to hand you the whole thing. What a knock on your door legally is and what it is not. What happens in the 8 seconds after you open it. The exact words to use when officers will not leave. And the single most dangerous physical moment in this entire scenario, a shoe sitting in the gap of your door, and what you do with your hands, your voice, and your body when it happens. And somewhere in the middle of all this, I'm going to tell you about the politest sentence in the English language. It has cost more law-abiding Americans their privacy than any confession ever written down. Most people say it without thinking, out of nothing but good manners. I'd like you to never say it again after today. Now, if you're over 60, I want to be blunt with you about why this one matters more for you than for your grandkids. Your door is where you are most exposed. Not the highway, the door. It's where you spend most of your time. It's where a worried relative can send officers with a single phone call. It's where a stranger with a clipboard shows up at 2 in the afternoon and says he's with the city. And it's where the thing your generation was praised for your entire life, being respectful, being cooperative, not making a fuss, opening the door because it's rude not to quietly becomes the exact lever somebody can pull. I don't say that to scare you or to make you angry at police. Most officers are decent people doing a hard job. I say it because the fix is small and free and takes about 90 seconds to learn. Quick note before we go further. This video is for educational purposes only, and it is not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not your attorney. For your own situation, talk with a licensed attorney in your state, because laws vary from one state to the next, and I'll flag that as we go. I'm Walter, and this channel does exactly one thing. I read the actual rulings, the real Supreme Court decisions, the real federal appeals cases, and I break them into plain English you can actually use. Every case I bring up today is real, and every one of them is listed in the description with a link. So you never have to take my word for a single thing. Let's start where the law starts. Here's the first surprise. When an officer walks up your path and knocks on your front door, he is not exercising a police power. He's using something the courts call an implied license, and it is the same license your mail carrier has. The same license the neighbor kid selling raffle tickets has. The Supreme Court laid this out plainly in a case called Florida versus Jardines, decided in 2013. The court said that any visitor, including an officer, is invited by custom to walk up the normal path, knock, wait briefly to be received, and then, if nobody comes, leave. That's the deal. That's the whole deal. And 2 years earlier, in a case called Kentucky versus King, the Supreme Court said something even more useful to you. Whether the person knocking is a police officer or a private citizen, the occupant has no obligation to open the door or to speak. Those are the court's own words, and I want you to sit with them for a second. You are not legally required to answer your door. Not when it's police, not when they say your name, not when they knock a second time and a third time. If you did not call them and you have no business with them, you can leave that door closed and go on with your afternoon. I know how strange that feels for a lot of you. A knock at the door is a summons to your generation. You get up, you answer it. That's how you were raised, and it's a decent instinct. But it is not a legal obligation, and the police know it isn't, and the entire strategy of a knock and talk depends on you not knowing it isn't. So rule one, and this is the cheapest protection in this entire video. The safest thing you can do at your front door is very often nothing at all. Look through your window, or look at your phone if you've got a doorbell camera. If it's officers, and you didn't call them, you may simply not go to the door. You are not hiding. You are not obstructing anything. You are not doing one thing a judge will ever hold against you, because declining to speak with police is a right, not evidence. Now, before we get into what happens when they won't take that for an answer, let me mention something quickly. Everything I'm walking you through today, the words, the reasoning behind them, the pushback lines, and how to answer each one, I put into a handbook called Know Your Rights. What to say when police stop you. It's written for exactly the person watching this. Not a lawyer, not a law student, just someone who wants the right sentence ready before the moment arrives. There's a chapter on the knock at the door, one on welfare checks, one on inspectors and imposters at the door, and a page in the back you can photograph and keep on your phone. It's my own book, on my own site, and the link is in the description if you want it. That's all I'll say about it. Let's get back to the door. So they knock, and you don't answer, and they don't leave. They knock again, harder, they start calling out, "Sir, sir, we know you're in there, open the door." At some point, that stops being a knock and becomes something else legally. And this is where a lot of people get genuinely surprised, because the courts have already drawn this line for you. Go back to that Wyoming case I opened with. That's United States versus Reeves, decided by the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in 2008. Three officers, at least 20 minutes of banging on the door and the window with metal flashlights, shouting, starting before 3 in the morning. The court said a reasonable person facing that would not feel free to ignore it. So when he opened the door, he wasn't consenting to anything. He was submitting. And under a Supreme Court case called Peyton versus New York, which says the Fourth Amendment draws a firm line at the entrance to your house that made everything after it unlawful, the guns they found, the search he later agreed to, all of it thrown out. Reeves is not alone. 11 years earlier, the Seventh Circuit decided a case called United States versus Charez. There, officers knocked on a motel room door for about 3 minutes after 11 at night, called out, "Police, open up," then moved over and knocked on the only window for another minute and a half to 2 minutes and shined a flashlight through the gap in the curtains. That court said the same thing. Once the people inside had effectively refused to answer, the officers' continued efforts to force them up out of bed turned a friendly, voluntary encounter into a seizure. And a seizure needs legal justification that those officers did not have. And in 2016, the Ninth Circuit decided United States versus London. Officers went to a man's front porch and knocked at around 4 in the morning. The court held that the customary license to walk up and knock is generally limited to normal waking hours, and that knocking at 4 a.m. with no reason a homeowner would accept as urgent went past what any ordinary visitor could do. The officers were not lawfully on that porch to begin with, and so everything that flowed from it fell apart. Now let me give you the plain English test the courts keep circling back to, because this is what you're actually listening for at your own door. Judges look at two things. One, did the officers use the badge, the authority itself, to try to force that door open rather than asking like a visitor? And two, were they unreasonably persistent after being refused? And the hour of the day makes both of those worse. Courts have said for a long time that a knock in the dead of night has to be examined with the greatest caution because of how vulnerable a person is when they're woken up in their own home. Understand what that means for you. Ordinary knocking in the afternoon that stops after a minute or two is lawful, and it's meant to be. But loud, sustained pounding at night from people announcing their police and demanding you open is the exact fact pattern that has gotten evidence suppressed in federal appeals courts across this country. I want to be honest with you about one wrinkle here, because I'm not going to hand you a rule that's cleaner than the truth. If you're thinking, well, I'll just put up a no trespassing sign, be careful. The 10th Circuit, in a 2016 case called United States versus Carlos, held that a no trespassing sign, standing alone, did not tell an officer he couldn't come up and knock. Some states give you more protection than the federal floor does. This is genuinely one of those places where your state and your circuit matter, so look up your own. So what do you actually say? If you decide to speak, and you never have to, you speak through the door. You do not open it. And here is the first exact line. I'm not opening the door. I don't consent to anyone entering my home. If you have a warrant, hold it up to the window or slide it under the door. Otherwise, I have nothing to say, and I'm asking you to leave my property. Say it once, calmly. Then stop talking. Silence is not rude here. Silence is the whole strategy. Let me break that down. Because every piece of it is doing a job. I'm not opening the door. That's you exercising the right the Supreme Court described in Kentucky versus King, plain, with no explanation attached, and no explanation is owed. I don't consent to anyone entering my home. Consent is the single easiest way into a house without a warrant. It's the one they want. This closes that door before it's ever opened, and it puts a marker down that a judge can see later. If you have a warrant, hold it up to the window. You do not have to open your door to look at a warrant. This lets you check it while your threshold stays exactly where it is. And I'm asking you to leave my property. This one matters more than people realize. The whole license to be on your porch is built on custom and welcome. Once you've clearly withdrawn it and asked them to go, a judge looking at this later has a very different picture of everything that came after. Now, let's say you do open that door. Maybe you already did, out of habit, before this video ever existed for you. That's fine. Here's the ground you're standing on. The officer is friendly. He is reasonable. He says some version of, "Sir, it'll take 2 minutes. Would you just step out here so we can talk?" Do not step out. I want to give you the legal reason, not just the advice, because the reason is what will make you remember it in the moment it counts. In 1976, the Supreme Court decided a case called United States versus Santana. A woman was standing in the open doorway of her own house. The court held that for Fourth Amendment purposes, standing in that doorway put her in a public place, not in the protected inside of her home. The doorway is the border, and when you step through it onto your own porch, you have walked out of the single most protected space in American law and into the space where officers have the most room to work. Think about what changes in that one step. Inside, they generally need a warrant, or your consent, or a genuine emergency. Outside, they can watch you, question you, look at you, and start building. Everything you say out there is fair game. You're not in custody, so nobody has to read you any rights, and anything you say can be used against you is just as true at your porch railing as it is in an interview room. And there's a second half to this trap that people never see coming. Suppose you step out, the conversation gets uncomfortable, and you decide to go back inside. You turn, you reach for your handle, and officers follow you right through the doorway. The claim afterward is usually some version of, "He let us in, and we did a protective sweep." Here's the law on that, and it's tighter than they'd like you to think. Protective sweeps come from a Supreme Court case called Maryland versus Bowie, decided in 1990. A sweep is a quick look in places a person could be hiding, and it has to be supported by specific, articulable facts that would make a reasonable officer believe someone dangerous is in there. It is not a free walkthrough of your house because you opened a door. In that London case I mentioned a minute ago, the officers claimed a sweep and the court shot it down flat. They had no reasonable, articulable suspicion that anyone else was even present. So here is the second exact line. If you've opened the door and they ask you to come out, I'd rather stay right here, officer. I'm not stepping outside and I'm not inviting you in. What is it you need? And if he presses, it's just easier out here. I'd rather not have this conversation on your porch. For the neighbors, the answer doesn't change. I understand. I'm staying inside and I don't consent to anyone entering. Now, that politest sentence in the English language I promised you at the top. It's this. Sure, come on in. That's it. Six friendly, hospitable words that your mother raised you to say, and they legally accomplish more than a warrant does. A warrant has limits. It names a place, and it names what's being looked for. Your invitation has none. It hands over the whole house, voluntarily, and everything found inside comes in against you. There is no version of this where saying it makes your day better. The close cousins are just as expensive. I've got nothing to hide. Take a look. Well, if it'll speed things up, sure, hang on. Let me come out. You never have to be rude to avoid saying them. You just have to have a different sentence ready. That's the whole trick. Now, the hardest moment, and the one I most want you to hear before it ever happens. You've opened the door a few inches to talk. The conversation turns. You decide you're done, and you start to close it, and the door doesn't close. There's a shoe in the gap. Let's do the law first. Crossing your threshold without a warrant, without consent, and without a genuine emergency is exactly what Peyton versus New York forbids. A doorway is not a hallway. Physically putting a foot into your home to stop your door is not a small thing legally, and it can absolutely be challenged later. But I would be doing you real harm if I stopped there, because what is legal and what is safe in that 1 second are two different questions, and you have to survive the second before you can win the first. Here is what actually happens when a homeowner pushes that door. The officer's foot gets pinched. The report afterwards says battery on a public servant or assault on an officer or resisting. Those are not small charges. And whether you are even legally allowed to push back against an unlawful entry depends entirely on what state you are standing in. Let me show you how far that goes. In 2011, the Indiana Supreme Court decided a case called Barnes versus State. A man blocked officers from entering his apartment, shoved one of them, and was convicted. He argued the jury should have been told about the old common law right to reasonably resist an unlawful police entry into a home. The Indiana Supreme Court said no. It held that Indiana no longer recognizes any right to reasonably resist an unlawful entry by police. That decision set off a firestorm in that state, and other states handle it differently. But read what it means for the person standing in the doorway. In some places, even if the entry is flatly unlawful, physically resisting it is still a crime you will be convicted of. So the rule at your door is the same rule that runs through everything on this channel. Comply physically, assert your rights verbally, and fight it in court, never on your doorstep. Which brings us to the third exact line, and this one you say out loud, clearly, on camera, with your hands visible and nothing in them. Officer, your foot is in my doorway. I don't consent to you entering my home. I'm not going to touch you, and I'm not going to force this door. I'm asking you to step back. Every piece of that is deliberate. Your foot is in my doorway. You are creating a record, out loud, of a physical fact. If there's a camera running, you have just narrated the exact moment a threshold was crossed, in your own voice, with a timestamp on it. I don't consent to you entering. This is the sentence that survives. Later, nobody has to guess whether you agreed. You said it at the time in words. I'm not going to touch you, and I'm not going to force this door. That is you removing, in advance, the two stories that could otherwise be told about you. No battery, no resisting. You have taken both off the table with a sentence instead of your hands. I'm asking you to step back. Clear, polite, and it makes the next thing that happens entirely their decision on the record. Then you stop talking. If they come in anyway, you do not block them. You do not grab anything. You do not raise your voice. You let them, you keep the camera going, and you remember that the officer, not you, carries the burden of proving he had a lawful reason to be inside your home, that is a fight you can actually win in a courtroom with a lawyer in daylight. You cannot win it in your entryway at 9 at night. Now, they rarely take the first no. So let's walk the ladder, the 5 things they will say, and your answer to each one. Your line stays almost identical every time, because repetition is what makes it credible. The first one, it'll take 2 minutes. Why are you making this difficult? You're not. Your answer, I'm not being difficult, officer. I'm just not opening the door, and I don't consent to entry. The second one, if you've got nothing to hide, why won't you let us in? Refusing is a right, and exercising a right is not evidence of a crime. Don't argue the philosophy on your porch. Just repeat it. I understand. I still don't consent. The third one, fine, we'll just go get a warrant. Then let them. That is the system working exactly the way it's supposed to. A judge looks at what they actually have and decides, your answer, that's your right. I'm not consenting and I'm not opening the door. And note this, under Kentucky versus King, the Supreme Court was clear that police cannot manufacture an emergency by threatening to do something that itself violates the Fourth Amendment. The fourth one, somebody called and asked us to check on you. This is the one aimed squarely at our age group, and it is usually a relative or a neighbor acting out of love. 2 cases you should know. Brigham City versus Stewart, 2006. If there is a real, objective emergency, someone seriously hurt, or in immediate danger, officers can come in to help, and thank God they can. But then there's Coniglia versus Strom, 2021, a unanimous Supreme Court. There is no free-floating community caretaking power that lets police enter your home without a warrant just because they're checking on you. Concern by itself is not a key. So the fastest, kindest way to end a welfare check is to show them you're fine without inviting them in. Come to the window, turn a light on, speak clearly, your answer. I appreciate the concern. As you can see, I'm fine. I don't consent to anyone entering my home. Thank you. And then call whoever made that call tonight and sort it out as a family. The fifth one, we have a warrant. Now it changes. Ask to see it. Hold it to the window, slide it under the door. Check 3 things. Is it signed by a judge? Is it your address? And what does it actually authorize? If it's real, you do not block that door. You step aside, you say, I don't consent to any search beyond what this warrant authorizes, and then you stop talking, and the only other sentence out of your mouth is that you want a lawyer. Now, let me give you the part you can do tonight, while nothing is happening. 5 minutes of work, and every one of these turns a story into evidence. Put a camera on the front door, and if you can, one on the back. In more than one of the cases I've described today, the entire question came down to how long the officers stood there and how hard they knocked. That is a question a recording answers and a memory does not. Learn how to record on your phone without looking at the buttons. Practice it twice this week. If something happens at your door, you want that running before you say a word, and you want it out in the open, not hidden. Decide right now, before it ever happens, that you are not going to open the door for anyone you did not invite. Say it out loud to your spouse, so you're both on the same page, because these things fall apart when one person holds the line and the other one opens the door out of politeness. And write the sentences on a card and tape it inside a cabinet by the front door. I'm not being cute. Under stress, at night, with someone pounding on your door, nobody recites anything perfectly from memory. Reading it off a card is fine. The words work exactly the same either way. If this has been useful to you, subscribe. This channel exists to put the right sentence in your pocket before you need it, and there's a new one every week. Let me put the whole thing back together in about 30 seconds. A knock is an invitation, not an order. The Supreme Court has said you have no obligation to open the door or to speak. If it turns into pounding, especially at night, courts have repeatedly found that is no longer a friendly visit, but a seizure, and evidence has been thrown out because of it. Do not step outside. The doorway is the border, and past it you are in the open. Do not say, "Come on in," because that gives away more than a warrant ever could. And if a foot lands in your door, your hands stay still, and your voice does the work. That's it. Not clever, not confrontational, just prepared. And I want to say one last thing to those of you over 60 in particular, because it's the real reason I made this. The politeness you were raised with is not a weakness, and it is not something you have to give up. Every single thing I've told you today can be said in the calmest, kindest voice you own, standing in your slippers, without raising your volume one notch. You are not being difficult. You are not being disrespectful. You are being a homeowner who happens to know where the line is. And the whole reason that line exists is you. If you want all of this in one place, chapter by chapter, my handbook, Know Your Rights, What to Say When Police Stop You, covers the knock at the door, welfare checks, warrants, and officials at your door, with the exact wording written out and a card in the back you can carry. The link is in the description on my own site. Next time, I want to take you inside the trick that comes right after this one. What happens when officers cover, unplug, or turn away the camera at your front door, and what the law says about the footage you never got? That one surprised even me. I'll see you there.